Organized Chaos, presented by ADT, Brilliantly Safe. Flagel and Perk, a new ESPN podcast led by its namesake, former NFL veteran analyst Marcus Spears, a.k.a. Swagoo, and NBA champion and analyst Kendrick Perkins. Spears and Perk will bring listeners the latest NBA and NFL news, as well as a look inside their life's career journey with can't-miss conversations and welcome in top sports and celebrity guests. That's Swagoo and Perk. Listen wherever you get your podcast, and also available on ESPN YouTube channel.
Welcome to Organized Chaos. Along with Rex Ryan, here's Bart Scott.
Welcome to Organized Chaos. I'm Bart Scott. And what is brilliantly safe is the Ravens' reign in the AFC as they secure the top spot for a week as they defeat Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns in a snoozer. No, not at all. This is a good old AFC North matchup. I'll be joined by Rex Ryan a little bit later to go over all the games, but this game did not disappoint as Baker Mayfield was outdoed once again when he had an opportunity to be the hero. We're still waiting for Baker Mayfield within the AFC North to have his moment. Once again, Lamar Jackson, 4 interceptions, but it did not stop the superstar from continuing to make play after play after play. Closed out by Bowser, as Wink Martindale talked about him all year, his versatility, you know, trusting him not to be the pass rusher in the critical moments, but for him to be the man-to-man tight end stopper as he stops Hooper on a numerous occasions. And the Ravens reign supreme for this week as they have a tremendous matchup going on next week. And I tell you what, for right now, the Ravens are sitting safe at 8-3, one game cushion. This was a pivotal game for the Ravens because if they were to lose this game, the Cincinnati Bengals, who dominated the Pittsburgh Steelers, would have jumped to first place in the division because of the head-to-head matchup where they came to Baltimore M&T Bank Stadium and destroyed the Ravens. Tell you what, week 12 did not disappoint. We'll get into it a little bit after this.
Organized Chaos.
Welcome back to Organized Chaos. I'm Bart Scott, and joined as always with the. I feel like I got to put the. I don't know if it's because Michigan beat the Ohio State, but I feel like I need to put the Rex Ryan onto your name because it just feels like you're a sir or somebody of full distinction. I want to give you your full credibility, coach. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know what? It's great, Bart, because most people call me something else, and I don't appreciate that language from the fans. Just kidding. Man, I appreciate you, Bart. You know, these games, I don't know. I was disappointed. I thought we were really going to get some great ones, man. But, you know, with that being said, some teams really made some statements today.
And who was that? Listen, the first statement is in the AFC North, right? Because I thought this was going to be a much more competitive game. And, you know, I thought a lot of people were down on the Bengals. I never was down on the Bengals. I understood that they went to the Bungles. But when you talk about a team that hasn't really experienced success and they get early success, like blowing out the Ravens, somebody that's had their number for a long time, and then they get humbled and they get that humble pie when they win and they face their in-state rivals, the Cleveland Browns, I knew they just needed the time and opportunity to take a breath so that they can get that underdog mentality back underneath them. It seemed like they found that underdog mentality against a hated rival, maybe the most hated rival in all that division, in the Pittsburgh Steelers. And man, you talk about November and December football is about rushing and running the football and stopping the run. The Steelers couldn't do either. 165, Joe Mixon goes off, Rex. What did you see?
Yeah, I saw exactly what you're saying. And you know what? Hey, the big brother got punked by Cincinnati today. And look, that's twice the Bengals have beat the Steelers. Remember the first time? Well, that's because they never had T.J. Watt. They never had Fitzpatrick. Well, what's your excuse now? You just got punched in the face to the tune of 165 yards rushing, like you said, Bart, from Joe Mixon. That's what impressed me the most from Cincinnati. All right, that Zach Taylor never said, I'm just going to throw it 50 times a game like he did when he was a rookie coach. You know what? He learned, too, that you need to be balanced and you need to be more physical than Pittsburgh, and that's how you beat them. The thing that's the most impressive about this Bengal team is they win 2 against the Steelers. You're right, Bart. They're arch rivals. Don't forget, they dominated the Ravens, all right,
yeah,
time they played them. So, like, why not? They can take over that dang division, and you know, their defense again showed up. But we also know, you're right, Bart, as soon as they think, hey, we've arrived, then they become the Bungles. So they got to watch out for that. And if they do, shoot, they're going to be right in the middle of this.
And I look at Zach Taylor, right? You talk about being an inexperienced young coach. And maybe he set the tone a little bit different this time to understand that, hey, listen, we have an opportunity, but nobody's going to give us anything. And we talked about Carl Lawson going to the Jets. And we're like, why wouldn't they sign back Carl Lawson? They brought in this Trey Henderson guy, and this guy's had a sack in his last 8 games. They have balance. They're tough. And this isn't the same Bengals defense that we're accustomed to. They're tough. They're hard-nosed, and they're hard to score on. And Pittsburgh figured it out.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And that Trey Hendrickson, like you mentioned, came from over from New Orleans. Everybody thought it was an aberration. He had all those sacks there. Well, you know what? He's doing it, and then some with Cincinnati. And then they got Hubbard, the other defensive end. So you're right. They got, you know, they're well coordinated. They're well coached on defense, which we haven't seen for God knows how long, you know, from this Bengal team. So, you know, I think all those are real positives for that football team. And then on the flip side, man, this ain't your old Steelers football team. This is a team that, I mean, their defense, and when's the last time? I've never seen the Steelers give up 200-some yards rush in a game, especially to Cincinnati. And so they're clearly on the downslide. We knew Ben Roethlisberger and company were, but so is their defense. And they're going to be looking up to the Bengals now for the next several years.
So we talk about passing of the guard. You know, we know that, you know, the Steelers are a brand name that we can count on. You've been in that division when it was the AFC South that included Tennessee. Ooh. And the also the Jacksonville Jaguars, right? So you've been there for a long time. So you've seen the Steelers recreate themselves. You know, they went from the slash, you know, from the Cordell Stewart Steelers to the Tommy Maddox Steelers. And, you know, what do you think is the future in Pittsburgh with kind of trying to rebuild this? Do you think they even have an opportunity to make the playoffs, or was this a nail in the coffin? You know, you think about the tie with Detroit.
Well, I think anybody that's around 500 still is alive in the playoffs. So a lot of it's going to be tiebreakers, all those type of things. But I want to count anybody out just yet. However, they're you know, as far as being a perennial winner, all those type of things, they're going to have some real issues in the offseason. Number one is what's going to happen to Ben Roethlisberger. If he doesn't play, I don't see this team going anywhere. They're going to have to find the next guy, their next quarterback. And that, as we know, Bart, that is hard as hell to find. So you can have other things in place, but that's huge. Look, they revamped the entire offensive line in the offseason. Now what are they going to have to do with this defense? Because they're not even playing anywhere close to what they played in the past. So, you know, yes, you got TJ Watt. It's a great start. But for some reason, it just doesn't look right to me back there.
No, absolutely. And then going from one AFC team to the AFC South and the Tennessee Titans, I don't really know what to make of this team, right? You know, because you talk about the matchup today, it's supposed to be the clash of the Titans, right? With, you know, Bill Belichick going against his protege and Vrabel. But I don't really know how to assess this New England team, right? I feel like they are benefiting from the same thing that the Kansas City Chiefs are benefiting from. It's not who you play, it's when you play them. And today they played the Tennessee Titans without Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, and Chris Henry. And, Chris
Henry. And Derrick Henry.
I'm tripping. Chris Henry. All right. Without Derrick Henry. So I don't know, like, if this team is – listen, I know they're good. I don't know if they're special, right? And I understand that, you know, you'd rather be lucky than good sometimes, but don't the Patriots need to beat an opponent that's fully at full strength for them to have the confidence that they're a legit team? Because I know that it's easy to lie to players and teams. It kind of reminds me like Rocky II, right? When Mick was setting Rocky up to fight all these guys, and then Clubber Lang came, a real opponent. And he was like, listen, these guys are all bums. They were tomato cans, right? You didn't fight a real fighter. And he's like, what do you mean? Like, and Rocky really thought that he was beating these guys and they were handpicked opponents. I wonder if the Patriots feel the same way. And really, Bill Belichick is playing the Jedi mind tricks and letting them think that they're super elite. Are they? Or are they just fighting and playing teams at the right time without their best weapons?
Well, it's funny. I mean, you got to line them up and knock them down as they come. But you're right, Bart. I mean, they played the Tennessee Titans with one hand. You know, they're in a fight with them, with one hand tied behind their back. They have nothing. And I thought no team needed a player more than Derrick Henry, than the Titans needed Derrick Henry. And let's face it, the Jets beat this team without A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. So right. Anybody on the planet that thought Tennessee was going to beat this game, besides my host Sam Ponder, who just loves to picking them all the time, other than that, nobody is going to take Tennessee in this matchup. But here's the thing. They did exactly what they needed to do. And I will say this. Tennessee was hanging around way more.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if not for a dropped interception, which was a pick six, a gift that the kid dropped, and then a huge fumble, by the Titans, it would have been a game. So we're going to find out Monday night. We're going to find everything we need to know about New England Monday night when they play the Buffalo Bills. That's when we're going to find out who really is the best team in the AFC East. So we'll find that out. And as far as Tennessee's concerned, look, they're not going anywhere without A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry. Okay, right. Now, don't worry about Julio Jones. We knew that was going to be one or two games anyway. Without those two studs, that team, there's no way. Ryan Tannehill leads the league in interceptions. Guess what?
Wow.
It's going to continue without A.J. Brown and without Derrick Henry.
Now, I wonder, do Mike Vrabel have the league right where they want it? Because they look vulnerable now, right? And they know, potentially, the tough part is they had an opportunity and they really needed Julio or A.J. Brown to be able to suck it up. I don't know if this is the one where you had a conversation with them, hey, go shoot it up, because this is going to fall, with the tiebreaker. And they had a real legitimate opportunity to have the best record in AFC, and that is golden. Yeah. For Tennessee, because the Tennessee Titans have to have that bye so they can hopefully get Derrick Henry back, and the later you're able to start in the tournament, the more opportunities you have to get Derrick Henry back. And I thought this was an opportunity where you need to have that conversation. You know what I mean? Remember when Samari rolled, and a lot of people don't know this story. And when I talk about, Baltimore, and I talk to him about just what a special place it is, like, I can remember the love that we had for each other, not so much even as a team, but as a unit, as a defensive unit.
Yep.
That when Samari Rowe had his spine fused, neck fusion during the season, so he can come back. Like, for people that don't understand, they make it an incision inside on the side of your neck, next to your Adam's apple, whatever that thing is, the little crater is right there. They move your throat out to the side, and they fuse your spine from that way. We had a player that loved our team so much, and we were such a family, that he had that surgery and put not only his career on the line, but his ability to potentially even walk on the line to come back so that we can play and continue to play.
Yeah,
at a high level.
You're exactly right. That player, Samari Rowe, one of my all-time favorites. And remember when we came to the Jets, we tried to get him, and he couldn't pass our physical. It was null and void because Samari couldn't pass the physical. And I'll never forget when our doctors told me with the Jets, they said, hey, Rex, if you really love this player the way you say, then you wouldn't let him play football. And I remember telling Samari that, and we never did the trade. I think he still played one more year. But, I mean, that you're right. It's a special bond, and I don't think people really, realize how special it is. They see these guys as almost, unhuman, but these guys are human and they're broke, but yet they still go. And you're right. You would have loved to have seen, Julio or AJ Brown be able to step up in that way. But right now those guys are on IR, so they can't even come back.
Yeah.
So, and obviously big Derrick Henry, but they got to get there. And you're right, Bart, this team's going nowhere unless Derrick Henry comes back and pulls a Willis Reed. Here in the New York area, they all remember Willis Reed coming in.
Picks.
I don't care that he never played that much. He walked on that court. And he won the damn series by walking on that court by being that kind of player that his teammates could rally around. And that would be the same boost that Derrick Henry would give this team. But if that doesn't happen, I don't see this team doing anything. Their defense has gotten a lot better, but you can't put it in the hands of Ryan Tannehill. You and I both gone against him when he was at Miami. He's not the same quarterback without Derrick Henry, without A.J. Brown.
I don't know if you remember this, Rex, or I'm sure you remember it, but we've been in a lot of wars together, man. We was in a lot of battles where we had to just pick each other up. You know, we didn't have the great, you know, quarterback play at times. You know, we're in Baltimore and sometimes with the Jets, you know, we understood how we were built and how we had to win games. But out of all the wars that we've been a part of, probably the one I'm most proud of is our victory against Tennessee. And I mean, you talk about, and I always say this because I know our listeners probably never heard this story. You talk about drawing it up in the sand and drawing it in the dirt. We traditionally, my entire time with you were a 3-14.
Yeah.
All the time. 3-14, that's all we knew. 3-14. And we went to play the Tennessee Titans, who at that time were the number one seed. And we go down to Tennessee, and all the people that really don't understand the history of what the AFC South, the old AFC South, used to be with 500 Fisher and the hatred between the Ravens and the Tennessee Titans and how much like the ghost of Eddie George having his soul taken away from Ray Lewis all the way back from when Eddie George came back and trying to, you know, stiff arm Ray through the ground, like the stiff arm from hell, right? And kind of got a bit of dignity back to that opportunity when we went down there against Chris Johnson, LG Crumpler, that great team that they had. And we went to battle and we had guys dropping like flies left and right defensively. That's when Jim Leonard was early in this process. He was pretty much a walk on, you know, and we had Dennis Haley. I mean, and we went to a 4-3 defense. We had no idea what the hell we were doing. You were drawing coverages and defenses up on the sideline with an easel, and we walked out of there with a victory. And all I can remember was the image of Keith Bullock walking back to the dressing room and like shaking the guardrail in disbelief that they lost to us in that capacity with us running a 4-3 defense and like making coverages up as we go. Like, what do you remember about that game? Because I was too close to it.
Yeah,
but man, from where your perspective was, man, like was that one of the proudest moments as a defensive coordinator, as a coach, that your guys came together and just figured this out?
Yeah, you know what? Two of the proudest moments. That one for sure. We lost Mike Smith. Remember, Ray couldn't play that game. And Mike Smith steps in, and not the coach Mike Smith, but the player Mike Smith, who's now a linebacker coach, doing a great job in Green Bay. But either way, steps in, a really tough dude. But he trashes his shoulder at first play. And we're like, well, you got to stay out there for a little bit. He's out there and literally, like, he needs surgery, guys. Like, it is so bad, it's not even funny. But they drive down and score. And we're like, we gotta figure this out. So he comes over. We're down 7-0. And it's like, okay, we pick this guy up, this Haley kid.
Dennis Haley.
So he just got to our team for, like,
practice squad.
Yep, practice squad him, bring him in. And then I'm like, okay, we kind of figured out. We're like, if we're going to blitz, we're going to put Ethan Simon in that spot to play linebacker.
I remember that game.
Remember that with Jared.
And I had to move to Mike linebacker. And people don't realize I got a concussion, like a concussion, like the first. This is like one of the first. This is the only concussion I ever had.
Yeah.
So like all of a sudden, I hit that kid that got like, he got like 20 kids, man. I forget his name.
Oh, yeah.
It was his name was Henry, too. Travis Henry.
Travis Henry, yep.
Right, Travis Henry. He got like 10 kids, right? So it's like, I don't know, it was like a flash knockdown, but it was delayed, like, because the hit was like the plays before. And all of a sudden, I start seeing like the rainbow around people. And I'm on the sideline, and you're like, Bart. You're like, Bart, I don't have anybody else to put in here, man. This is what the hell you want me to do? So I said, listen, man, they're over there trying to give me the concussion. So I said, listen, man, I know where the hell I'm at, man. I just, everything I look at, I see more than one person, and it's a glow around them. And like the sun is too bright, I can't see. I said, get me a damn visor and just get me a visor and I'll be okay. So I'm sitting in there and I'm telling Dennis Haley every play what the hell he got to do. Like, and I first Ray's hurt, and I can remember that's the game where Trevor Price blocked the field goal attempt to win the damn game. And only time I ever wore visors in my life.
Remember, we put if we were going to play man coverage, we put a safety in there, Jerome Sapp. We played that Haley kid and just played three. Remember, we did all the easy coverage we gave to him, but we did find a way to do it. One of the funniest ones ever, and I know we don't have time to talk about it, but one day we got to talk about the playoff game when we ended up having only drawn things up in the dirt. We had to play two tight ends to rush the pass. Remember at the end of the game, but we'll go over that another day too. But either way, man, it was, you're right. That was brings back some great memories for sure. Yeah. But
the Titans just bring something out of us because we have history with that organization and built similarly, but let's get back on track, right? Let's get back on track and let's go to the defending champs, because I said last week that the most dangerous team in the NFL, if they get in the tournament, is the Indianapolis Colts. And I thought for a second they had the defending champs on the ropes, and they let it slip away. They let that bad man, not the bad man that everybody else talks about, that bad man that we had to face all the time in the AFC, Tom Brady, come back. And Leonard Fournette has a huge game, right? After Jonathan Taylor has 5 touchdowns or whatever he had the week before, Leonard Fournette, a career high, 4 touchdowns on the day.
Yeah, no, it was amazing. But here's the thing that gets me. Why in the hell does Frank Reich think that he can go blow to blow with Tom Brady with Carson Wentz? They got out of the running game. Finally, they're down 1 score in the game. They finally say, oh, you know what? The best player we have on our team is Jonathan Taylor. Maybe we ought to get him the damn ball. And then he goes all, you know, crazy on that last drive. But it's crazy. And I don't know why the hell they, you know, you got to run. We need runs and completion to beat Tom Brady. Everybody knows it. You can't throw it all over the place. And I know they're close. Good for you. Close doesn't get you anything. And here's the other thing. When it was 3 minutes or whatever and change left, Tom Brady's like, you don't need to call Bruce Arians, Byron Leftwich. Nobody's calling the game except Tom Brady. He put it in his hands. He's running the ball. He's doing all this. Why? Because he knows how to handle a clock. Nobody does it better than Tom Brady. He gets his team down, and they score the touchdown, and the rest is history. But, yeah, Tampa, what makes them so dangerous? Like, look, nobody's going to want to face Indy, because they do have a lot of talent. But some of it tells me, I don't care. You got Carson Wentz, you'll blow it. Now, he played well, but I'm just telling you, I don't fully trust him. So,
Vita Vea.
Kind of how.
Lost a tooth, Rex. Vita Vea lost a tooth and was smiling. What the hell is wrong with this cat?
That's a bad dude. If you get a tooth knocked out and you're sitting there smiling, that's one when you run. You run. Away from that guy.
I tell you what, there's a couple things that's non-negotiable for me, Rex. Like, listen, I was tough. I'll break whatever I want. You're not messing up my face. You're not messing up my teeth. You only get 2 sets of those things. And once you get to adult teeth, you listen, teeth are at a premium. I know you can go out and you can get the grill fixed and all that stuff.
I got the grill fixed part. And
they bling it. You got that Corey Fuller smile. But I tell you what, man, like, you know, I don't know if maybe Tampa was just sleepwalking and they figured out a way how to kind of get it together, you know, but, you know, they concerned me a little bit because, you know, it was a tale of 2 halves. If you look at what happened in the first half, it was dominated, you know, for the most part by Indianapolis, 21 points in the second quarter. And then they just fell flat. They Tom Brady usually makes, we always just give Bill Belichick the credit for making the adjustment. It seems like Tom Brady made the adjustment and he put up 24 points in the second half. And that was the difference, you know, the quarterbacks. You know, I think if you go by all the other positions, these teams are very close as far as from a talent perspective, especially with no Antonio Brown around right now.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And one thing we know, Bart, if until that clock hits triple zero, you can't rest. You can't let up. And if you do, you're going to get beat. And we've seen it time and time again. Unfortunately, you and I have been on that sideline, and it's happened to us before. So, you know, we've seen it. Nobody's brought their team back more in the fourth quarter than Tom Brady, and this is just another dang win for him. And it's like, oh, well, hey, Brady did it again. I mean, that's how good Tom Brady is.
You know, Rex, you know, I should love, like, when I used to have to study for a test, it was all about Cliff Notes, right? So we got a couple Cliff Note games. And I just want to tell you, just tell me, like, your first thought on these little Cliff Notes that we have, right? So, you know, I'm back. Superman was back. But I tell you what, Kryptonite Superman is must be hitting receivers accurately as Cam Newton gets benched 5 for 21. What say you, Rex?
Yeah, I mean, he can't drive the ball anymore. And that's why no team in the league wanted Cam Newton. And the fact that Carolina gave him $10 million guaranteed money is the craziest ass thing I've ever heard of. He was on his couch. You could have had him for nothing, the minimum, and you gave him $10 million. I don't get it. But
that guy is the rich. That guy is the richest owner in the league. So he just said, no, that was his pocket change, Rex.
Yeah, no, I guess, man. But to me, it's like, look, Cam can run the football. He's still a big dude and all that. But he cannot drive the football. He's just pushing everything. And it's a shame, too, because he's a shell of him of his former self.
So how do they save it? Because, I mean, listen, their playoff hopes are starting to get bleak. Should they treat him like Taysom Hill? Should they let him come in and have a certain package and just go with P.J. Walker now and let him drive the ball and let him be Taysom Hill?
Yeah, but P.J. Walker stinks. He stinks. So you got to leave Cam in there until Sam Darnold's ready to play again.
Sam Darnold's like Michael Myers. He lives to see another day, man. I tell you what. Who's problem child?
You know, we're throwing dirt off of him, but to keep him alive. But that's what you got to do. You can't play that P.J. Walker. He absolutely stinks.
Now, I don't know if you know this, Rex, but Jason Garrett was fired, which means that I believe the Giants thought that the offensive woes was all about Jason Garrett. And you know what they did to make sure that they could solidify that it was all about Jason Garrett? They went out today against the Philadelphia Eagles. And, man, did they let that ball fly all the way to the tune of 13 points. Freddie Kitchens. Oh, man. What I thought 13 points, Rex? Like, really? Is this what we're talking about? Like, is this the upgrade?
Yeah, hey, you knew it was going to be. It's like, okay. Hey, it couldn't be worse, though. Jason Garrett, I mean, hey, he might have scored 10 with Jason Garrett. So, Freddie, I tip my hat to you. The amazing thing is they still won the game. Their defense played their butts off. They had 3 interceptions against Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, up until that time, man, the last 4 weeks, he had one interception in the 4 weeks. Yeah. The Giants get 3 interceptions. And, by the way, I got to bring this one up. Jalen Reagor. All right, let's talk about guys who think. All right, he has 2 touchdowns in his hands that he absolutely drops. 2 of them. And this is the guy that the Eagles took over Justin Jefferson. So you want to talk about dumb.
That's a fireball finish. That's a fireball finish right there.
They had to fire everybody in the building for that one after the kid dropped his 2nd touchdown. But Jalen,
I don't know who do you have more faith in, Reagor or Nelson Aguilar in his reign. Like, who was the worst receiver in Philadelphia? Because Nelson Aguilar, I don't know. Maybe it's just the number 2 receiver can't get her done.
Yeah, I have no idea, but something's got to give there. But it's absolutely crazy because Aguilar, remember, he played well when he went to a different place. Maybe that Reagor, if he goes somewhere else, will be a better player. He can't be much worse.
I tell you what, something else that you know, didn't light up the scoreboard is Zach Wilson. Even though he got the victory, man, he didn't look good at all, man. And you talk about this offense, you know, we were praising LaFleur and saying all the things, you know, the offense averaging 435 yards, you know, in his absence, he comes back and throws one of the silliest picks, man. Like, as he's taken off and running, throws it underhand, gets picked off. I understand it looks like his PCL is still injured, but this dude says he has to let it rip. And it drives me crazy, Rex, because he's letting it rip on like 5-yard crossing routes and he's throwing the ball. You know, like, remember when Peyton Manning was on Saturday Night Live and he was throwing the balls to kids and he was just hitting them with the dodgeball, whatever that was. That's how he throws. Like, bro, it's a such thing as touch. Like, and this dude just throws the ball 100 miles an hour. And I don't know, man. And watching Mac and Cheese, I'm starting to get concerned that maybe the Jets took the wrong
man,
kid.
I'm not ready to sell this kid down the river yet. And I think, the one interception, absolutely a bonehead move. kids trying to make a play and try to do the shovel pass when stepping up in the pocket. He looked like Carson Wentz on that. You need to get that out of your repertoire, Zach. We know you're trying to make a play. But I will say this. I like the fact he got his head taken off and his hand taken off, and he's still balling out there. Like, that was good. So he got some toughness. We know the kid's got some toughness. He doesn't look like it, but I think he's got it in him. I expected this type of game from him because he's been on the bench for like the last month. So,
all right, I'm going to give him another week, Rex.
Yeah, but let's give him a little time. And here's the crazy thing, that Houston defense is actually fairly decent, you know, in the secondary. So for whatever reason, they can get pressure on the quarterback and things. But I'm going to tell you where I was impressed. I was impressed by the Jets' defensive line. I mean, I think they had 5 sacks in the game. It just felt like 10 sacks. Like every time Tyrod Taylor dropped back to pass, I never knew if it was Tyrod or Tyrod Taylor. He was butt knocked off. So I got to credit the Jet defense, man. They showed up in a huge way, and it's good to get a win, man. Look, there's no
You get them out if you can. I'm just nervous that a win could be a loss, right? Because I'm looking on Saturdays, right? Because that's what you do when you're a Jet fan right now. You look at Saturdays, and I'm looking at the fact that the kid what is it, Heilenberg, or what's his name? The kid from Michigan. I look at 2 great pass rushes from Michigan going on right now. The Adobo or whatever his name is. He has 11 sacks. The other kid on the other side.
And I believe his kid is
Hutchinson. Hutchinson. He has 12 sacks. I'm looking at what the kid from Oregon. I'm saying, listen, the Jets could be winning by losing, because last year, you know, they beat the Rams. They had an opportunity to get Lawrence with the number 1 overall pick, and they lost it late because they got a victory. So they got they won the victory. They won the battle, but they lost the war. But I tell you what, I can't listen. I already did this. I don't want to go too deep into the Jets thing. Let's take a quick break, come back, and let's reset and talk about the 4 o'clock games, because I tell you what, man, my back hurt just watching OBJ run.
Oof, man.
Organized Chaos.
Welcome back to Organized Chaos. I'm joined as always by Rex Ryan, and let's go to the game of the day, Rex. The Rams versus the Green Bay Packers. Man, did the Packers pack on the W, man, when you talk about going in and, you know, this game, the final score is not indicative of what the Green Bay Packers were able to do. Understanding Lambeau, but it looked like it was a dominant performance led by that defense.
Yeah, it was. And when I look at this Rams, number one, I'm so mad at myself. 3 weeks in a row, I picked the damn Rams to win. And I'm like, why the hell did I do that? Look, Odell Beckham is out there, and bless his heart, that dude, he can't run right now. His back's all jacked up. He's got
that Larry Bird back.
He's got all that kind of stuff, and it's painful to watch, man. And you don't think that team misses Robert Woods, do you?
He's the hardest soul.
Yeah, they look completely different. You don't fear that Rams offense anymore. And so, you know, and then their defense is getting run, you know, drug on. So, you know, and here's the thing. Green Bay, I don't give this team enough credit. I keep thinking, hell, you can run on them. You can do this. You got 3 starting offensive linemen out. Starting offensive linemen out. And the Rams still got their butts kicked. So, I got to give Green Bay credit. I don't want to, but I got to give them credit. And to me, they almost look dominant at times when Aaron Rodgers has any time to throw the football. They're dominant.
Yeah, it just seems like Aaron Rodgers has all the answers to the test. No matter what you do, he's going to find a way. That's what we talk about when we talk about franchise quarterbacks and being force multipliers. We talk about the ability that no matter who's out, you still have a chance because they have that person. Right. And he's done a good, tremendous job, able to still get, you know, Davante Adams. You know, everybody gets involved, right? This dude hit, you know, what? I can't even count. This dude hit 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He hits 8 different receivers, right?
Right.
And like, no matter what you decide to take away, he always has an answer to the problem. And to your point, this Rams defense is great on paper, right? And you talk about, you know, you talk about Floyd, you talk about Von Miller, who I think showed that he still can rush the passer in spurts. Reminds me of Jason Taylor when we got him late in his career. You know, he can play and he can remind you of his old self, you know, for periods of time, but can't have the consistent dominance. But at the second level, their linebackers, man, they lack the physicality, right? And I love Aaron Donald, but you know, listen, a lot of times he's not going straight ahead, no fair dodging a lot of times. And sometimes it's beautiful when he's able to arm over and flatten back out and get in on the tackle. But sometimes he leaves those linebackers exposed because when they can't get him, they go up and they punch those linebackers in the mouth. And it seems like they get bully balled a lot. And it's not just, this is a recurring theme. That's what the Titans did to him. That's what the Green Bay Packers did to him. And listen, I understand this, Rex. You used to always say this. You say, find you some cleats that work. And I understand that a lot of their problems were, we understand that Green Bay field has heaters on it. And when they put the heaters on it, it creates slick spots and mud. And, of course, everybody in Green Bay understands the type of cleats that you need to have a proper traction. So you saw a lot of players falling down, and Stafford should have had a bunch of some more picks. But are you concerned with Stafford, who was my MVP candidate, and his inability? He started to throw some pick sixes, and you heard Troy Aikman say, hey, you know, there's been rumblings that he's not healthy.
Yeah, well, I mean, that sounds like an excuse because nobody's healthy this time of year. Bart, you and I both know that. But here's the thing. Look, Stafford, one thing I know about Stafford, okay, one of the most talented quarterbacks never to win a playoff game.
Yeah.
Never to win a playoff game. When it's a big moment, like here's the bad thing about Stafford. There's never been any expectations on this young man.
Yeah.
Now he goes to L.A. There's nothing but Super Bowl expectations. And right now, I think he's starting to feel it a little bit. He's not the same quarterback he was earlier in his season. And so whether it's through injury or he's swallowing the olive a little bit, he doesn't look to me.
I tell you what, I thought they did a bad job. And, you know, I understand why you go Sony Michel. But I thought they needed more of a downhill thumper, a guy that was like, you know, short area quickness. I thought they should have traded for somebody a little bit better, you know. And I think they're seeing that, you know, because when this offense was dominant, they had a very physical power running game.
Yeah.
Forget all of the flash and stuff that they had before. Todd Gurley was coming downhill and he was having big plays and they were bludgeoning you in the running game. So I think that's the difference. The fact that it's not a lot of space behind, I understand Robert Woods isn't there, but I understand it's not a lot of space behind because they're not making that eighth guy come up in the box and respect them. Where you know, it looks like Green Bay was just sitting back, you know, without Zaire Alexander, without Darius Smith. And they were just sitting back and just sitting on stuff and sitting on routes because they don't have anybody that can run by. Now, I know they wish probably right now that they didn't grant DeSean Jackson's wishes and let him walk away because he looked like DeSean Jackson, you know, on Turkey Day, as, you know, the Raiders expose the Cowboys. What do you think about the Cowboys, and are they paper champions, even though they're not in any threat of losing that division, but they may be a threat to be one and done?
I think they have to be healthy. I think when that team has everything, you know, has Amari Cooper, you know, has CeeDee Lamb, obviously healthy, and has Zeke, has Pollard, all these guys healthy, every one of their receivers, they can play with anybody. And in that offensive line, obviously Smith, you know, the big left tackle has to be there. Zach Martin, obviously at right guard, but they, if they're all there, they can still be a problem.
See, but that's the issue, Rex. Nobody. Yeah. To your point.
Biggest thing is their defense. Their defense has fallen off. Their defense has relied on takeaways. And made a lot of big plays that way. But without those takeaways, this defense is back to playing similar to how they played last year. They're getting the crap knocked out of them. So, to me, they add a Micah Parsons, who I think is a rookie of the year. Walk away, that's a rookie of the year. But, and he's the best player on the field when he's out there. But some of these other guys, it's like, damn.
Well, Randy Gregory's coming back. Lawrence is coming
but
back.
They're pass rushers. They're not just the guys that can stop the run, and they have a problem when a team wants to bloody up, you know, wants to bloody their nose a little bit. They got a problem with that style of play.
But tell me this: when Lawrence comes back and Gregory comes back, your thumper should be Parsons back in the middle with Vanderish that gives you athleticism. Now, do you prefer Parsons there being a thumper, saying okay, Gregory and Lawrence are better pass rushers? Even though the kid has like 11 sacks or 8 sacks or whatever the hell he has, and saying, okay, let me put him at the second level and use him as a blitzer. You know, we used to have the old I-Ted Vice where we come in and we make sure we solidify the front and Banderich can run sideline to sideline. Do you prefer him in the middle as better to help the team, or do you expect, would you like to keep him on the outside and rushing and maybe move Lawrence into the inside?
Well, I think he's a tremendous – remember the X player – we put you in that position. We put Adalis Thomas in that position.
Yeah.
That's what I would do with this guy. I think he's special. I think he's special as an off linebacker. I think he's special as a pass rusher. But to me, if I got to have it in a two-minute situation or an obvious pass situation, that kid is rushing the passer for me. And so I'd take Gregory, Lawrence, and Micah Parsons, all rushing the passer with whoever else you have in there, because that's that to me – I mean, everybody's better when you can rush the passer, and I think you have to do it. But you've got to get to a pass rush situation.
Yeah.
How are you going to do that? He has to play on the second level on first and second down.
Now, for everybody out there that's wondering what the X position is, basically, me and Doug Thomas was crash test dummies, right? And, you know, they I was willing to go in there and back pick deep offensive linemen and just run and hit them like it was kickoff or something like that, because, listen, I was just happy to get on the football field. So that's what the X position was. Adalis Thomas was tremendous at it because he was a much more of a physical specimen than I was at 270. It took Bill Belichick, when he went to New England, not to know how to use him. All he had to do was copy your playbook, Rex,
right,
and say, okay, put this guy and use him as a squat corner, use him as a safety, use him at all those things. But, you know, sometimes, you know, what's obvious ain't always obvious to everybody. But, you know, to your point, you know, I think that they can fix that part, right? What I'm concerned with is you said when they're healthy, and that's a big when they're healthy,
right?
Because you talk about, you know, Ezekiel Elliott, you know, you start talking about ankles and backs and stuff like that, I get concerned, especially when you talk about a running back. Now, I know Parsons has been explosive, but I don't know if you ever want to give Parsons a healthy dose of 30 carries and things like that. So, like, if Zeke can't get healthy and stay healthy, it's weird, Rex, because we're talking about,
yeah,
football in December and January. Man, this feels like the longest damn season of my life, man. I keep saying, like, oh, well, it's December. It's about to be Christmas, or it's almost December. It's about to be Christmas. But it's like six games to go.
No, I know. It's crazy. And you're right. I mean, Pollard's really not built for 30 carries. But I think you've got – if you're Dallas, I think you got to get your guy healthy. You got to get him – you know, it's kind of like a horse racing. You got to get your horse healthy to the Derby. And to get there, you may have to put Zeke on ice for a couple of weeks, put Pollard, give him more opportunities, and bring somebody else along, because you got to have Zeke healthy by the end of the year. Now, look, hopefully they get Cooper out of the COVID protocol this coming week, because they need him. You know, they don't have and CeeDee Lamb. Those two guys are difference makers at the receiver spot, but they damn sure need those guys.
So this is crazy, right? And I don't know what the actual rule is, but you talk about, you know, Aaron Rodgers had COVID and he didn't have to get tested for the rest of the year. I wonder now with Amari Cooper having COVID, if now he doesn't have to get tested for the rest of the year, this means that he won't miss any games. Because my concern is somebody that may not be vaccinated may get into, it may be a pivotal game where you talk about in the playoffs, and those guys aren't eligible for not one game, but two games if you're not vaccinated. So, you know, maybe if Cooper was going to be in a protocol, it was best to be in a protocol earlier than late.
Yeah. And I tell you, Bart, that's just way over my head, because I don't know the particulars of that stuff, but you're right. I know an unvaccinated player, you know, has way more
10 days. Yeah.
Way more restrictions than a vaccinated player. So, you know, who knows, but, And you never can tell. I mean, there's guys that are vaccinated that get COVID as well. So it's kind of a crapshoot.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. I would hate to see somebody lose or get a competitive advantage because a player from the opposing team, you know, had to miss because of protocol. But we know it's going to happen. We saw it happen in basketball with Chris Paul. The difference is in basketball, you got a best of a whatever series, where you talk about the NFL, it's a one-game elimination tournament. You know, the Raiders are 6-5, and I think they settled in as well and trying to figure out who they're going to be. Like, you know, with Nassib and that pass rush kind of came back. And, you know, one thing you can say, that Dallas offensive line was whole. But I thought Derek Carr really, you know, did a great account for itself. They figured out a way to how to get DeSean Jackson involved. And he's a guy that's always, no matter at 34 years old, is going to be able to draw penalties. And I mean, the poor kid Brown, like,
oh my,
with please put him in witness protection protocol, man, because he has to be the most hated man in all. Did you have a problem with all the penalties?
Hell yeah, I had a problem with it. Look, here's what officials have to understand. Nobody wants to see their ass out there. You know, protect the players, that's your job. But unless it's an egregious, penalty, don't throw the damn flag. You know, so to me, that wasn't pass interference. 3rd and 18. Give me a break. That game, that never should have been thrown. There's no such thing as face guarding. I think that's where people, fans, get it confused. You don't have to turn around and play the football. Okay. There's no such thing as face guarding. He did nothing to impede that guy's position. And to me, it was awful. And here's the other thing the NFL needs to look at. All these underthrow balls, like horrible passes, are getting flags because receivers are coming back to the football. It's you're rewarding a horse throw, so to speak. Sorry to say.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, to your point, right? Yeah. The only reason he made contact is because the receiver stopped running.
Right.
And he's out of phase, so he's coming back and he can see the football. The defender is at a disadvantage. They can't see the football. Right. So, it's just crazy. But that kid, it's one of those games, right? And listen, the Cowboys can complain about it, but they'll send a letter and they'll send an apology letter saying maybe it shouldn't have been called. But that's exactly what it's all about, And just keeping up some housekeeping calls, stuff. Minnesota goes down to San Francisco. San Francisco's still alive, right? San Francisco's still alive, and like you said, any team that's above 500 or hovering at 500, well, San Francisco's still 6-5, right? Still 6-5, and Debo Samuels is over 1,000 yards. And once again, 2 rushing TDs. This dude's like a mix of Anquan Boldin and Percy Harvin all in one.
Yeah, that's right, because he's got the physicality of Anquan Boldin, the speed of Percy Harvin. Look, 5 rushing touchdowns. He's got more rushing touchdowns than Dalvin Cook, Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, Aaron Jones, Alvin Kamara. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, this kid is such a weapon. But I'm going to tell you this. No team, absolutely no team, wants to play the 49ers if they're healthy. If they can keep Jimmy Garoppolo healthy, they can keep Kittle healthy, Debo Samuel healthy, this team has a legitimate shot.
All right, so coming up this week, we got, I guess because we're contractually obligated to mention Seattle versus Washington. I hope we can see Pete Carroll come to the press conference, man. Like, if last week's press conference was impressive, I don't know if he loses this week what he do. We might not see Pete Carroll for the rest of the year. He might be like Marshawn Lynch. I'm just here so I don't get fined, because I think he's running out of answers to why this offense can't generate points, even though Russell Wilson is back and they have Lockett, they have Metcalf. And yet the victories, and listen, the more and more they lose, the Jet fans are celebrating, because the more and more Seattle lose, the better that pick gets for the Jets. Jamal Adams, the gift that keeps on giving. And if you lose to a Heineke, I don't know if Pete Carroll can handle that.
No, I think you're right. But here's the thing that's absolutely crazy. Look, Seattle just got beat by Colt McCoy. Seattle, like, are you kidding me? I mean, they better be happy that Colt McCoy's not quarterbacking with Washington again. But because you'd have to favor him. But here's what I want to see in that game. I actually want to see Russell Wilson play like Russell Wilson. Yeah. Right now, he doesn't even look anything close to how he used to be. And people are talking about trading 3 first-round picks for him. Hell no. Not playing like this.
Well, coming off the finger, that's tough. Had a pain, surgery on his hand. Can't grip the ball. Don't have the moon balls. But, yeah, to your point, it hasn't looked like Russell Wilson. And not just the deep balls, just the decision-making and being able to matriculate the ball down and field and have all the answers to the test. So, like, we got Thursday night coming up. Just a quick look ahead to week 13. We don't want to talk about it too much because we're going to talk about it all next week, the results of it. But we got the Cowboys at the Saints. Who needs to win more?
Oh, hell, the Saints. The Saints need one desperately, or they're going to fall out of playoff contention. So Cowboys are in it. They're going to win their division. But the Saints, man, they're desperate for a win.
Now, we always talk about it's not who you play, it's when you play them. know, but the Broncos, you know, that defense is legit. You know, Patrick Surtain Jr. again, pick six. They got Kyle Fuller over there. Bradley Chubb is coming off of IR. You know, this could be a much more difficult game than people are giving Kansas City credit for. Now, they played the right teams at the right times, but they can wrap it up. This is a huge game for them. You think Broncos have any chance?
They got a chance because their defense is playing lights out. The only problem is, and look, they got all these weapons at receiver. Fant the tight end. You've got, you know, Sutton, Patrick, Jerry Jeudy. Why the hell can't they run the ball? Two really good running backs, a decent offensive line. Their problem is their quarterback, man.
Yeah.
You got Teddy Two Gloves or you got
Teddy Two Gloves.
That's the equalizer, and the Chiefs got to be like, really, you're going to beat us with Teddy Bridgewater? Like,
oh, man.
You know, unfortunately, that's what they have playing that position.
Listen, I know I'm not supposed to speculate, man, but I would really love to see, because I've always said, and sometimes it's controversial, but I don't care because ain't nobody going to kick my ass, Rex.
That's right.
I always said that I believe that if Deshaun Watson was in Kansas City, Kansas City would be a more dominant team. Now, I know it's crazy, but I think he can do everything that Patrick Mahomes can do as far as arm talent. But he has that added dimension that Patrick Mahomes can only dream of, his ability to buy time and be able to make huge plays with his legs. And what he did last year was impressive. Both guys are probably going to go to the Hall of Fame. I just think it's about location, location, location. And if Deshaun Watson ever gets an opportunity, you know, if he's innocent, right? I don't want to listen, speculate right. Anything. I'm not here talking about, I'm just talking about the football player. If Deshaun Watson ever gets on the Denver Broncos, we could have arguably the greatest rivalry for the next 10 years that we've seen since Peyton Manning and Tom Brady.
I don't disagree with a single word, you know, because everybody's pointing Aaron Rodgers going there, and that would be unbelievable because for the next three years or whatever it is that Aaron Rodgers would play, the Broncos would be unreal. It'd be like Peyton Manning all over again.
Yeah.
0.0. However, for the next 10 years, if you're right, if Deshaun Watson ended up there, oh my God, that would be amazing to watch.
And then listen, when you say that the schedule makers got it right, is an understatement for week 13.
Ooh.
Monday Night Football for RC. Now, this is something I'm proud to promote. We got Patriots, Bills, and listen, no excuses. How far does this go? Because they play twice. But how important is the first one? Because we have the Bills that had a bounce back against the Saints, look dominant. But, man, the Patriots running the football looks like the kryptonite to what the Bills struggle with. Can Frazier figure it out? And can Mac and Cheese pull up enough points? Or will he have to put up enough points to keep up with this Bills offense?
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I was so confident that the Bills could whip the Patriots until Tre'Davious White went out with an ACL injury.
Oh, man.
I don't think
feels bad for the kid.
Well, you know, and that guy was such a great player, but the Bills are going to have to flat out overcome it. I mean, you're not built on just one player. You've got to overcome that injury. You know, let's face it, the Patriots could have had Stephon Gilmore. He's not.
Yeah, exactly. So we call it even.
Yeah, so call it even. Bills, you better win this damn game. And that's all. Or you're going to see the Patriots winning that division again. And golly, I don't want to see that.
And Rex, I nobody wants to apologize to Bill, right? So listen, that's enough for me, man. I'm past my words. I'm only contractually obligated to talk or speak 2,000 words. I think I'm 1,000 over because of our kind of trip down memory lane. So once again, I'm Bart Scott. He's Rex Ryan. This is Organized Chaos. Rex and I, like I say, each and every week, we'll be dropping a new podcast. Each and every NFL weekend from now until Super Sunday, you can catch me weekdays from 12 to 3 Eastern on Barton Hahn Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. You can always catch Rex Ryan. And listen, I shouldn't even have to say this anymore because you guys know where the hell you can find Sexy Rexy. You can find him every Sunday on NFL Countdown and Monday morning on Get Up, teaching Dan and Ryan Clark all about defense. Thanks for listening. Hey, Rex, man, it's always a pleasure. This is like appointment radio and podcast and TV, whatever you want to call it for me. It's always good to see you every week. Let's do this the same time, the same place next week.
Can't wait, Bart.
Let's do it.
Thanks for listening to Organized Chaos. Check back for new episodes every Monday morning all season long, wherever you get your podcast.